All right, welcome back to another episode of every time I start, I have to cough. That's the worst. Welcome back to another episode of Everyday Ecclesiology. My name is Daniel Greenhall.
I'm Desiree Greenhall.
She's my wife. And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for the body to build itself up in love. And not my body, I mean the body of the local church, to work together with all of its members together to build that body up in love under the head, which is Christ.
Yep.
I always add a little bit different every week, I feel like.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, the original thing is for the body to build itself up in love, but that doesn't even say anything directly about the local church, so I feel like I need to define that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's okay. This podcast has three more segments, what we're doing, what we're learning, and what we're reading. So, Desiree, what's new with you this week? It's been pretty much the same stuff as what's new with me, but from your perspective.
Not much is new.
Yeah, it's true.
Weather was nice. Garden's growing.
We had really nice weather.
I know I just mentioned we just planted, but I already have some plants coming up.
Yeah, you were surprised. You're not cucumber. There we go. I think keep thinking cucumber.
Came up in like 5 days.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
Yep.
Disc golfing.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily new.
Yeah, but I shot a personal record today at my local course. That was fun.
Me too.
Yeah, you did.
My best at that course was plus 10, which is really bad.
Yeah, 10 over par. Well, I mean, it's not bad per se for how you throw. That's a very, like, that's bad for how you throw now. But then you shot what today? We went from a plus 10 to a
plus 2?
Yeah, to a plus 2. And that was with you not throwing any bad shots. So a plus 2, if that's you throwing good shots. Oh, you threw a couple of bad shots.
I threw too far.
Yeah. You threw one into the ground as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wasn't even a perfect round. So you could shoot even par if you did like a really good round.
Yeah.
And I shot about, well, it was through 12 holes.
You also had a handicap.
Not earlier today.
Oh, earlier today. Yeah. You're telling about your best.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm going to turn you down just a little bit.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Which one's you? There we go. That should be better. I when I played with my hole bag earlier today, I shot 11 under through 12 holes, which was nice. There were a couple of eagles in there, but they're more like beagles because...
A beagle?
Yeah, because according to the course, it's an eagle, but according to like a normal person par, it's actually just a birdie.
Oh, okay.
So I call it a beagle.
You're funny.
I said that earlier today, but you didn't hear me. So that's okay. You got to laugh at it now.
I had a lot of stuff going on today.
But we also got to take the kids out and they enjoyed running around. Sophia did pretty well. And when she has a snack, she tends to do pretty well, kind of like me.
Yeah, we just booked it, so we were done by the time her snack was gone.
Yep.
But then she needed water, and we did not have water, and it was like World War III.
Oh, yeah. She was having a meltdown.
Yeah.
But that was fun. We got to use the good backpack, and you didn't have your satchel rubbing on your leg, and I just played a one-disc round. It was kind of fun to just try to play the whole course, shoot even par with just only one disc. I putt with it, I drive with it, I upshot with it, and it was fun. It was a Latitude 64 Pure for any of you that might know anything or want to Google it because you're curious. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. And the kids did too. It was good for them to get outside. And even if they're just riding in the stroller, they're enjoying the outdoors, breathing fresh air. And Sophia got down for a little bit when she went with me.
It was like, 78? Windy? Overcast?
Yeah.
So
it was
pretty
like
good.
8-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I enjoyed it. Other than that, just work and raising kids.
Yeah.
Which is lots of fun. I think Timmy might be asleep now.
You had a lot of work stuff going on. Several times you came home and then you had to go back in.
Yeah. It was kind of a weird week, but such as it is. I get to demonstrate the love of Christ to people at work.
Yep.
There were some good opportunities for that this week. All right. That's mostly what we're doing. I'm sure there's some more we could elaborate on, but those are the high points.
Now
what are we learning this week?
Enjoy the rest of the podcast now that Timmy's asleep.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So last week we talked a little bit about deacon ministry. We gave a couple of passages we looked at, made some observations in, and this week we're going to jump back into catechism again, and we're looking at the last catechism, the 10th catechism episode, yes, on the doctrine of God.
Yeah. What's the one he goes through after this one?
I think it's Bible. Just a second.
Because I know right he just started coming out with a man.
Correct. Yeah, Bible is next.
Okay.
So we do... Are there 10 questions on the Bible or not?
I mean, it's not. We don't have to know now.
Yeah.
You will find out.
Yeah. Then so will we, because I don't know. So we're finishing up the doctrine of God, or theology proper, if you want to use your fancy terms. And then next we'll be moving into the theology of the Bible. But what is the last question that we have this week on the doctrine of God? We're asking the question, What does the Bible teach us about God?
And but, then the specific one yep, is how can we know God?
Yes. And the answer we're going to, actually, no, we're going to read the scripture first.
Oh,
I almost
yeah.
forgot. So the main text that we're looking at and pulling from is Romans 1:19, which reads, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." It's a pretty short verse. If you're curious about that, feel free to pause the episode, look it up, look at the context real quick and jump back. Or, I mean, if you want to, pause it, look at the passage, read all of Romans and come back. You can do that too.
Yeah, there you go.
It's up to you. That's fine. I'm not going to fault you for that. Or, you know, never come back to the podcast and just continue reading Romans. That's fine too. I don't mind.
Yep.
We obviously don't do it for the listens or for the money. We do it to hopefully edify, and Romans will definitely edify. So that's the main passage and a tangent. So what are some of the other passages we're looking at?
I have the first one here, Psalm 139, verse 24.
Yep.
"Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it."
Yep.
Some context would be helpful on that one. So
yes. Yep.
Look it up if you want.
Yep. Exodus 10. Oh, there's the AC. There's always something. Exodus 10, 1 through 2. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord.'" Now, I have to zoom in on here.
Number 3.
There we go. I can actually read now.
Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world."
Mm-hmm. John 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
And this is eternal life, that they know you.
Oh, excuse
Not
me.
Not that they may know you.
Yes.
I looked John at 17, them like, well, I could kind of change things
yep.
a little bit.
And John 17, 3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Yes.
Isaiah 11, verse 9, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea."
Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." That's harsh.
Romans 1, 18 through 21. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, for they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened."
Jeremiah 24, verse 7, "I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart."
Psalm 111, verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them."
Yep. Those are going to be our passages we're pulling from to answer the question, how can we know God? Which is a good question. And I think some of the explanation in the first paragraph will touch on why it's a good question. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Actually, no. You want to read the answer that's proposed here. So, Desiree, how can we know God?
We cannot
know. Oh, that's a bummer. Oh, sorry, I cut you off too early.
Yeah. We cannot know God on our own. He must make himself known, and he has, by his works and his word. He can be known and should be known by everyone.
Okay. So we come now to our final question about the doctrine of God. And in many ways, this question addresses one of the most important practical matters in all of life. For all of human existence and all of our learning, especially in what the Bible teaches, comes down to this, knowing God. We've already seen that God's purpose in all that he does is for his own glory. But practically, as it relates to you and me, what this means for us is that God wants us to know him. And in knowing him as the Bible describes, we will come to love him as he deserves. So let's look closer at what the Bible says about knowing God. All right. First off, we cannot know God without him making himself known. Go ahead and read that paragraph, Desiree.
Yeah, I'll do that long paragraph.
Oh, yeah. That's a long paragraph. Sorry about that.
That's fine. How do we know anything?
Good question.
Let alone know anything about God? Some of us might say, Well, I just do.
Yeah, that was me in math proofs.
Math proofs?
Yeah, did you ever have to do proofs in geometry?
Yeah, but I always came to the conclusion differently than how the book came to the conclusion.
We had to show our work a lot in math in general.
Yeah, and I showed my work, but yeah, anyway, homeschool problems.
Yeah, I didn't like showing my work, but now I'm like, ooh, that is the best thing ever.
Showing
your work. Yeah. Because now I can explain to someone how to get to that same solution.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can point and say, here's your error. This is what you did wrong. Do it this way. And I can learn from it. Or if I get to the right answer, then it kind of seems like a waste of time, except that I can show someone, no, I'm sure that I did it right. Here's how you know that I didn't cheat.
Yeah. So how did you know, well, I just do know?
So that ties in because on math tests, sometimes I would get to the answer and be like, well, that's the answer. I don't know.
Oh, you had the answer memorized.
No, I just wasn't good at figuring out or explaining how I multiplied the numbers together in my head.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Okay. I would just read the problem and be like, yeah, that's the answer. Cool. Yeah. 72. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. And that just is it. But that won't do.
Yeah. Well, I think I need to start again. Some of us might say, well, I just do. But that will not do. Nothing just happens as if out of nowhere, for no reason, apart from anything else. It just happened. And as it relates to knowing God, that doesn't just happen either. Let me explain further. First, we cannot know God on our own. Because of who God is and who we are not like him and are therefore limited in many ways, including not just in our physical abilities, but even in our intellectual abilities.
That's good to know.
What?
That, like, just, that's something I've said before. Just because I don't understand how a thing makes sense, or don't understand how a thing can be true, or don't understand how two things work together, doesn't mean they don't.
Right.
That same thing here. Recognize, because of who God is and who we are not like him. We're limited in not only our physical abilities, but even in our intellectual abilities. That's important.
Okay. So, because of our creatureliness, we can't know everything, can't do everything, and can't fully exist relying on nothing other than ourselves. Reference number one.
And can't fully exist relying on nothing other than ourselves.
What'd I say?
I don't know, but it sounded different than that. Sorry.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. Sorry. Reference number one.
Meaning, as it relates to our knowing, we don't and can't have any knowledge apart from God. In addition, we are also limited by our sinfulness. Because all of us are also sinners, the Bible tells us that we are on our own, darkened in our understanding, Ephesians 4:18. We do not understand or seek God, Romans 3:11, and we do not know his ways, Psalm 95:10. Second, in order for God to be known, he must make himself known. Take what we learned in our previous question as an example. God is spirit. How do we see something or someone that exists but is invisible to us? We cannot make the invisible visible. We can't even know the invisible exists unless the invisible reveals itself to us in some way. That is, unless it does something. Similarly, God, who can't be seen, must be the one to reveal himself in order for anyone to know anything about him. For an example of this, see Jesus' comments about Peter's knowledge in Matthew 16:16-17. Well, has he made himself known?
Okay, so that was a good proof that we can't know anything about God, or an introduction to a proof on that we can't know anything about God unless he reveals himself to him, because he is so different and undetectable. Undetectable isn't the right word, because if we look at nature, we can clearly see that there has to be a God.
Because he's revealed himself to us, he's not undetectable.
Oh yeah, because he's revealed him to himself, he's undetectable apart from
if
his revelation
of
himself.
If he had not revealed himself to us, he would be undetectable.
Correct. Yes. All right. So then, the question was: has he made himself known? Well, yes. God has made himself known by his works and his word. Those are two important things. We're going to look at them both. The short answer is yes. God has made himself known. As we even learn from our verse above, God can be known because he has shown himself to us. That's Romans 1:19. Remember I said pause, read Romans? That was the reference. But keep in mind, too, that because we are his creatures, that he has made himself known to us means that he has come to us, not that we have come to him. And his coming to us is all because of him, not because of us. We don't deserve... I hate that word. That's another D word in my vocab.
What?
Deserve.
Oh.
because it gets so misused. Desire. No, I like that D word.
Okay, thanks.
Deserve. Not because of us. We don't deserve him coming to us, nor on our own do we desire it. So how has God made himself known? He has made himself known in two primary ways. First, he has made himself known by his works. I actually just referenced this when I interjected about looking at creation. What God has done is doing, what God has done is doing and will do reveals himself to us. We can know something about God by his activity in and with his creation. For example, all that he has made in part to tell us and point himself to tell us about and point himself. Excuse me. Let me read that sentence again. For example, all that he has made in part to tell us about and point to himself. This is Psalm 19. Also, how he has continually worked with and through people, various governments, human history, and even the order of our physical world helps us understand more about God. Look at Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, which might be the whole psalm. I don't know. Even our own sense of right and wrong, which God has given to us, reveals to us something about him. Romans 2. But while God's works do make him known to us truly, they do not do so as fully as we need. So like I said, if we looked at creation, we could know about God, but not know everything about God.
Right. There's a technical term for that we learned in college.
Mm.
Oh, special revelation versus general revelation.
Yes. Yep. So second, God has also made himself known by his word, cross-reference 3. But simply, God is a talking God. Put simply, God is a talking God. He's not just a doing God. He speaks, and he has spoken in various ways. For example, the Bible tells us that he spoke all of creation into existence, that he has at times spoken audibly to different people, and that he has even spoken through dreams and visions. But the Bible tells us that the best way he has spoken, the clearest and fullest way, is by his written word, the Bible, and his personal word, his son, Jesus Christ. We'll look more at both of these forms of God's word, the Bible and Jesus, in later questions and answers. For now, though, don't forget this. We can know God, and we will know him most of all through the Bible and his son. There was something I was going to say, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. That's okay. But yes, there's the answers to, has God revealed himself to us? Yes. And the two primary means we have of that today, are through his creation, his works, mm-hmm. and through his word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. So he said, but the Bible tells us that the best way he has spoken, the clearest and fullest way, is by his written word, the Bible, and his personal word, his son, Jesus Christ. It's clearest and fullest, but it doesn't say, but that doesn't mean fully, as in God has fully revealed everything about himself. Mm. It's the fullest
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Not the fullest that it could be, but the fullest that we have.
Right.
Hopefully that makes sense. So we're not, I don't think any Christian, some Christian probably would, but the Bible doesn't reveal everything there is to know about God. Correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. The Bible reveals everything that we need.
Right.
To know about God.
Right.
But there's infinite knowledge about God. It couldn't be contained within a book as small as the Bible.
Yeah.
But that is the clearest way that God has communicated to us, is through his written word.
Okay.
All right.
Last chapter?
Last chapter. Paragraph. You're funny. Yep, last paragraph. Ooh, and you get to read more paragraphs than me. That works well, because you read slower and better.
Oh, all right. Thanks. We should seek to know God as he has made himself known.
Okay. So we answered, did he make himself known? Well, how can we know him if he makes himself known? How has he made himself known? Through his works and his word. So now what should we do?
Oh, good.
There you go.
I've already mentioned that knowing God doesn't just happen. For sure, we can't know God on our own. While that's putting it negatively, we could also put it positively. Because God has made himself
yep.
known, we have a responsibility to seek him as he has made himself known. This, at least to me, brings up a couple of additional questions. First, what is God's goal in making himself known? Answer, that we would come to know him. What this means is that knowing God is the best thing for us. The Bible tells us that knowing God is essentially eternal life. Cross-reference 4.
Mm-hmm.
To have and experience the fullness of what Jesus says is eternal life is not simply to live forever, but to know God. Similarly, as God is working in all things to bring about his purposes, he is ultimately working so that the knowledge of him covers the entire earth. reference 5. Meaning, one of the results of his plans being fulfilled in the end will be that all people on earth will know him. In contrast, not knowing God always results in folly and futility. Crawford's reference 6. Second, does knowing God today happen automatically? Answer, sadly, no.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Knowing God is not like waking up in the morning and knowing breakfast is ready because your nose has automatically picked up the knowledge of bacon and eggs.
Desiree's salivating right
now. I know. Rather, while God is actively making himself known, his aroma, if you will, we naturally ignore, refuse, suppress, twist, and contradict the knowledge of him. Reference 7. We, on our own, walk around with stuffed up or deadened senses, unable and unwilling to make use of the knowledge he has provided us.
So, to carry that metaphor a little farther, we stuff cotton balls up our nose and plug our ears with earbuds and close our eyes and don't walk into the kitchen.
Yeah, intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we do not let his works and especially his word make God known to us. Here, again, we need him. It's not simply a matter of trying harder, but more of needing a new heart. Reference 8. So we should seek to know God, asking him for help and making full and frequent use of the ways that he has made himself known. Reference 9.
This is what the Bible teaches about God.
Yep.
Enough, you're waiting to say it or waiting
for
me to.
No, my page was down there, so I was going to let you read it.
Oh, thanks.
That was a very strong and well-written paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that.
I enjoy carrying the metaphors even farther.
Oh, yeah.
The second to last sentence, it's not simply a matter of trying harder, but more of needing a new heart. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I pray with Sophia every night when I put her to bed. I thank the Lord for the blessings, some of the blessings that he's provided throughout the day. Sometimes some of the obvious blessings, like yummy food that we get to eat or being able to play outside. And sometimes for the not so obvious blessings that Sophia has been able to enjoy that she wouldn't normally point out as blessings. And then I always close with, and most of all, please change Sophia's heart into one that wants to glorify you. So that she's hearing that over and over again, that that's a request of mine, that I understand that she needs a new heart, mm-hmm. that she needs a heart that wants to seek after God, and naturally she doesn't have that. So over time, hopefully she'll pick up on that, understand that, and come to believe that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, Lord willing, that she will have a new heart, but that's up to the Lord to change her heart into one that wants to glorify him.
Yep.
So I think that's an important truth, and one that I think can be taught to kids as well, even if they're not that old.
Yep.
All right. That was a pretty good catechism wrapping up the doctrine of God, theology proper. I might be able to link, I'm not sure how far back it goes, but I might be able to link a web version of this catechism since they're on our church website now. Did you
they
know that, Desiree?
They are on our website?
You didn't know that, did you?
Wow.
Yeah, I knew
Does
about
that.
Does
he have them copyrighted and everything? I wouldn't want somebody to steal it.
I don't think he copyrighted anything.
Oh.
It's okay. It's posted on the web, so.
Yeah, if it's on the web, you can link it to our church website.
I'm looking it up right now. I guess I don't need to look it up right now. Church blog. Yeah, so if you go to anchordsm.com. Sorry, I moved away from the microphone. If you go to anchordsm.com, and then you go under media, and you go to church blog, on the right, there are two categories, Psalms and Catechism. If you go to Catechism, since we're in Capon's Catechism, if I scroll down, I have to go all the way back to page 3. Yeah, Doctrine of God. What does the Bible teach about God? How can we know God? There we go. January 19th, 2022.
Check it
it's
out
there.
Yourself.
I'll try and link it just in case there's anybody that wants to check it out. But that's how you get to it. anchordsm.com/blog and then go to Catechism and find it.
Yep.
Or poke around on our website. See what happens. It's going to be updated soon.
Hey, our sign is finished, actually, for our new building. I saw it.
It's Somebody a sign from heaven.
Picture.
No, I'm kidding.
A picture of it on our church Facebook page, and it looked really nice.
I forget to tell you these things because I drive by it every day. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's up, and I just forget to mention it to you. Sorry. Yeah. So if you live in the area and you want to check out a fancy sign, you can come check out our sign.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody's phone
was
wasn't on silent. Mine's upstairs.
I'm always so good at putting it on silent.
That's okay. So that's what we're, that's what we're, I had to sneeze, and I thought it was going to come, and I didn't sneeze. Man, it's a rough night.
I didn't make the notes last Wednesday, so.
That's okay.
I don't have what we're reading.
I still know.
I think I can remember mine, just maybe not the authors so
okay, much. Okay, well, I'll give you a little bit more time to think while I talk.
I'm not going to remember the authors, whether I have lots of time or
not. Okay. I've been reading some more in Deacons by Smethurst, getting that one finished up, so we can either touch on it next week or fully delve into it the 3 weeks, 2 weeks after that, because we're doing alternate weeks. So next week we'll be back in Deacons, looking at Deacon ministry again, and then we might have a third week on Deacons, but there'll be a catechism in between, just because that's our pattern, if we're still post weekly, which we're trying to. So far it's working for like 3 weeks in a row, so I'm pretty pumped about that. Helps that Desiree has gives me a gentle cattle prod in the back every once in a while. A gentle cattle prod.
I think it's just as long as we have a specific time that we always do things.
I think it's just routine, now that kids are both sleeping at night, it's fine.
Yeah, that too.
What was it? The Ultimate Gift? Where the guy like wakes up the kid with a cattle prod.
Yeah.
I think that was the Ultimate Gift. I don't necessarily endorse the movie. It was fine. But I think there are probably some errors with it.
That was one funny section that you remembered.
Yes, that's one funny section.
Before you start on a whole dialogue about the video.
Yeah, I know. I know. So what we're reading, I'm still reading some more in Deacons, trying to get that finished up. I haven't picked up Hobbit, but I'm going to have to because we started watching the movie and I can't watch past.
You started watching it.
Well, you were sitting there for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Timmy was enjoying it. He probably wasn't really enjoying it.
He was just eating.
Yeah. But I really want to watch them because now I have them in 4K and I have a 4K TV and they're in HDR and I really want to watch them. But I can't watch past where I am in the book, so I have to read.
Otherwise you get mixed up.
Yeah.
Like we talked about last week.
Yeah. Thankfully, The Hobbit is one book, but there's three movies. So I only have to read one book to be able to watch three movies. But then when Lord of the Rings comes, that's going to be a little tough.
Yeah, I'm still,
Maybe I'll beat you through all of them.
Maybe.
That could happen. Maybe I'll find the audiobooks.
Finish your book list.
Gentle and Lowly still.
Oh, yes.
Because we're finishing that up in a couple of weeks, I think, as small groups. So that one's coming along. I don't have too many comments on them. I mean, I enjoy watching The Hobbit, what I have now that I've read it. And I'm like, oh, this is different. Oh, I appreciate this more about the book. And oh, yeah, that is a changed perspective now when I watch the movie. Versus in the book early on, but I don't want to spoil anything yet. But I have definitely noticed a couple things. Like, one thing is pretty obvious. Like, I didn't know from the movie that the Bagginses were, like, well-to-do as far as hobbits. Mm. Like, I knew that he had a nice pantry, and he had dishes and everything, and he had some gold things that he hid so that somebody wouldn't steal them. But I didn't know that that was necessarily different from the other hobbits.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that he was considered well-to-do in that regard. There just wasn't that much to indicate it, or I didn't really pick up on it. But in the book, Tolkien was clear that, he was
a
well-to-do hobbit.
That's why it's so much more unexpected that he went on an adventure.
Yes. Yeah, and it does make a difference. And I view his character a little bit differently. I mean, I view his character development probably a little bit differently, too.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. And then Deacons, I'll make more comments on when we actually go through it.
Right, because we're going through that. Yep. For me, Trusting God, which finishes up this Tuesday. Are we recording?
Yes, we are. Okay, we're good. I always double check, but it's always at the end.
Labor in Hope. Labor of Hope.
Labor in Hope or
remember.
Labor with Hope? One of the two.
Oh, Labor with Hope.
There you
I
go.
Think that's what it is. That one, I can't remember the authors.
What's it about?
Our podcast last week.
Like,
I'm
working
only
until in the garden?
I'm only in chapter two so far, and it's basically worked on backstory. So it started with the gospel opening up your labor, your pain in labor will increase.
So you're talking about
really gotten into
tilling the earth, planting trees?
No, for women.
Oh.
Part of the curse
like
was that childbearing labor.
Oh, okay.
Would be
there's
increased.
Lots of different types of labor. I was just trying to have you clarify that.
So it's
I know
still
what it's
very
about, but
early on in the stages.
Why is it that the AC kicks on right when we start the podcast?
It kicks off when we're about to finish. We need to just remember to turn it off when we come.
Yeah, I suppose we could. It's plenty chilly down here.
And then Lord of the Rings, book two.
Yep.
I dipped into that one this week as well. I think I read from all of my books between these two podcasts, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
Nice job. I only read from one. I'll have to get better about that.
I think that's all I am doing right now.
Okay.
But three books, that's pretty good for mental workload.
Yeah. Reading till your brain creaks.
Yep.
To steal, I think it's an N.D. Wilson. No, that's a Douglas Wilson phrase, I think.
I don't know
either. I'm pretty sure. Somebody can fact check me on that. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed. Well, even if you didn't enjoy, hopefully you learned something from this catechism, and we'll continue to learn as we delve into the doctrine of the Bible. But until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church. Bye.